Fuck me, I said we just reached 57th episode of the podcast. The other day I actually did something that I haven't done in 6 years in my own apartment. I started cleaning up my room. I had brought a pedestal fan the other day and I couldn't get it in the room without unless I cleaned up some space. So I took out like 5 bags of garbage. Still a lot more to clean out though too. Don't get it wrong, I am a hoarder. Like I said, I have a whole bunch of movies and CDs and books. That stuff is not getting rid of. But the next thing to go to is my closet, where I got a whole bunch of old clothes. Stuff that's stained, ripped, and stuff like that doesn't need to be kept, so I'm just going to get rid of that. And then the next thing after that will be underneath the bed. So that means I have to try to move my bed and get underneath it with all the garbage that's underneath that. And then after that would be the bathroom and the kitchen to get through. Too bad I don't have one either. I should get like a duster thing. And I got cobwebs all over my damn room, so I need like a duster. Like a feather duster thing to dust off all the cobwebs. I worked last night, so I'm off today, so because I dropped down from 5 to 4 days, it's given me a little bit of relaxation to where I can get drive time in so I can get my license. So now that opens up 3 days a week for me where I can learn how to drive. Even though I've renewed my permit last month, I haven't driven on it yet this year. So that's going to be a thing that we're going to have to do. Yesterday I watched the movie, The Magnificent Seven with Denzel Washington, and I have never seen the original, but I saw the remake with Denzel Washington, the one they did like 5 years ago, and that one wasn't too bad. So I got to actually sat down and watch that one, and then now I'm watching Jarhead, but I got it on pause, but there's 4 Jarhead movies. I've seen the first one, but never got around to seeing the other 3. So, I guess that's going to be something else, too, to get to see. I started my second book on the Trials of Apollo series. I finished the first one, now I'm on the second one. And there's still 3 other ones in that series, in that book series to read. Will benefit some people, but it won't benefit me because they didn't raise it in my industry. Biden passed a bill yesterday where they're going to raise the minimum wage to 15 for federal workers, meaning people in government. I said, that's not good enough. I said, if you're going to raise it to $15 an hour, it's got to be everybody, not just in the government. And I'm waiting for my mom to do my taxes. I haven't done my taxes yet. That's only a few weeks away that we have to have them in by. Let's see what we got here. And then the Republicans are being fucking idiots because the other day, obviously they don't think too well. The Republicans are on this fucking, what they call, conspiracy theory that Biden's going to take away meat and beer. And then they're saying, oh, we're going to have plant-based beer. As like, what the Republicans fail to realize is, what is beer made from? Plants. I said, how fucking stupid do you have to be to not realize that beer is already made from fucking plants? I would say they don't fucking listen. Biden's trying to pass a bill for $1.8 trillion that would help families in education. Now, I don't know more about that one yet. I gotta pull that up. Let's see here. This is what we're looking at here. It says President Joe Biden's administration wants to make a $1.8 trillion down payment on the future for children, families, and for higher education. And it says that it would, and basically they're saying that it would produce lasting benefits for the economy. Paying for it would be $1.5 trillion of the tax hikes over the next decade in the wealthiest households. A closer look at where the money is going and where it's going to be coming from. For the initiatives, $200 billion is to provide free preschooling to all 3- and 4-year-olds, and the administration estimates that 5 million children would benefit, and an average family would save about $13,000 a year. $109 billion is to offer 2 years of free community college to all Americans that are eligible for the program, but also be young immigrants living in the U.S. illegally who were brought to the country as children to remain here. Increase the maximum Pell Grant award by $1,400 per eligible student, and Pell Grants are financial aid for low-income students, and the increase would help to reduce the dependence on education loans. $46 billion for the historically black colleges and universities, as well as tribal colleges and universities. This would include $39 billion to provide 2 years of subsidized tuition for students from families earning less than $125,000 a year. $9 billion for scholarship and training for teachers. $225 billion to subsidize child care for families and support child care workers. Families earning 1.5 times their state median income would pay a minimum of 7%. Pay a maximum of 7% of their income for all children under 5. Another $225 billion to create the National Family and Medical Leave Program. The program would provide workers up to $4,000 a month with a minimum of 2/3 of average weekly wages replaced, rising to 80% for the lowest wage workers. $45 billion to improve school meals and offer food benefits to children during the summer, and peg the length and amount of unemployment benefits to underlying economic conditions, and create an automated response to a downturn. $200 billion to make temporary reductions in health insurance premiums for the Affordable Care Act plans and make it permanent. Extend through 2025 an enhanced child tax credit that could be paid out monthly. Eligible families would receive $3,600 annually per child for children under the age of 6. The payment would be $3,000 per child for children ranging from the age of 6 to 17. Permanently increase tax credits for child care. The credits would cover as much as half of a family's spending on care for children under the age of 13, but up to a total of $4,000 for one child or $8,000 for two or more. Make the expanded earned income tax credit permanent for childless workers, and allow the IRS to regulate paid tax preparers. But Biden's plan would cover these proposed expenses by increasing the IRS enforcement funding to audit wealthier taxpayers and mandate that financial institutions report earnings from investments and business activity in ways that are similar to wages. And this could raise $700 billion in a 10-year span. And raising the top tax credit on the wealthiest Americans from 37% to 39%, the rate had been 39.6% before the 2017 tax cuts. Taxpayers earning $1 million or more a year, the top 0.3% would no longer pay a 20% rate on income from capital gains, such as a sale of a stock or other asset. They would pay 39.6% instead. Oh, this is pretty interesting. A prototype of the first U.S. dollar coin was sold at an auction for $840,000. A piece of copper that was struck by the U.S. Mint in Philadelphia in 1794 and was a prototype for the fledgling nation's money was auctioned off for $840,000, considerably, which is more than what was expected, an official said. Heritage Auction spokesperson Eric Bradley said that the No Stars flowing hair dollar had opened an auction for $312,000 when it was put up Friday evening, but in less than a minute, an intense bidding quickly pushed the coin to its final auction price of $840,000. The coin was formerly owned by businessman and Texas Rangers co-chairman Bob Simpson, and he was expecting to sell the coin for $350,000 to $500,000. While it closely resembles the silver dollars that were later minted in Philadelphia, it gets its name because it's missing stars. Jacob Lipson of the Heritage Auction said earlier that starless coins are considered by collectors and institutions as a one of a kind prototype for the silver examples that would follow. Known as a pattern, the front features the flowing hair portrait of a Liberty, and the date. It dates back to 1794, while the reverse side shows a small eagle on a rock within its wreath. Similar starless examples are part of the Smithsonian Institution's national collection. The pattern was forgotten as the mint continued the process of creating the nation's first silver dollars. Coin collecting lore states that the unique rarity was excavated from the site of the first Philadelphia mint before 1876. That was how the coin's first owner described its history at its first auction appearance in 1890. The pattern is corroded and not in perfect condition, Lipson said, likely because it was buried at the site of the original mint place, but there are some scratches and other marks on its brown surfaces, but it has traded hands 8 times, according to the auction house. Simpson, who's 73, purchased it along with other patterns in 2008 to add to his large collection. He says, "I think coins should be appreciated almost as artwork." He said, "I have gotten more than enough to joy from them." Let's see here. What we got? Yeah, cops are known for doing this. Coming up. Now, for one, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right. It looks like Hialeah, Florida. Or Hialeah, Florida. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Two Florida police motorcycle officers are facing charges after they issued dozens of bullshit tickets to drivers that they never pulled over. The officers, Ernesto Martinez, 23, and Armando Perez, 40, are facing multiple counts of official misconduct after their arrest Wednesday. The Miami Herald reports Perez has been with the city police department for over 5 years, and Ernesto Arias Martinez has been with them for 4. An internal affairs investigation found that the two had issued dozens of bullshit tickets to at least 9 drivers in early 2020, court records show. But the Herald reports the scheme fell apart when lawyers who specialize in defending drivers who get tickets started soliciting business from people who had no idea what they were talking about. One law office had asked Riesel Souza Polo if anybody wanted help with the 10 tickets he had received. But Souza had never been pulled over, but remembered driving past 2 motorcycle police officers recently, and he had filed a complaint with that particular police department. Another driver filed a complaint after she received a letter from the state saying that her license was about to be suspended because she had not paid her 6 tickets that she got. All were issued on the same day in January of 2020, and she said she had never been pulled over, and that led to the internal affairs investigation and the pair's arrest. When police officers create false traffic tickets, as we are alleging happened here, they damage the reputation of their own department and the reputations of every other police officer working to serve our Miami-Dade County. The Miami-Dade County State Attorney Catherine Fernandez Rundle had said in a statement. Perez's attorney, Michael Greco, said that he wants to see what evidence prosecutors have here. Ernesto Arias Martinez's lawyers had no comment, but the officers' union distanced itself from the pair. As law enforcement officers, we are entrusted in protecting and serving our residents, and these alleged actions have violated the trust of the people and rightfully so, said Marlon Espinoza, who is president of the Hialeah Fraternal Order of Police. In a statement, and we ask that our community not judge all our dedicated officers by the alleged actions of these two. And then we got a man who was bitten by a rattlesnake, and he was trying to remove it. He was trying to remove a rattlesnake from his backyard. After he was trying to use tongs. A Southern California man is recovering after he was bitten by a rattlesnake when he tried to pick up the poisonous reptile using barbecue tongs. Not good enough. The man spotted the snake Saturday evening near his home in the Sycamore Creek community of Corona and was worried about it coming into contact with his children. According to a statement from Riverside County Animal Services, when he tried to remove the rattler using the tongs, the snake struck and bit him on the hand. The Animal Services spokesperson John Walsh said the man, who was not identified, was treated at a hospital and later released. A guy named Walsh said that the man who was not identified told this guy Walsh that he was feeling remarkably well, and he said that he definitely felt that he had dodged a bullet. Rattlesnake bites are extremely painful, and in most cases they can be fatal. After the man was taken away by ambulance, a crowd gathered as Animal Services officer Mike McGee removed the snake, and some of the children were saying "Bye, Mr. Snake," McGee said. But the reptile was later euthanized because it bit the guy. We tried to release rattlesnakes within 1 mile of where we removed it from, but it was highly likely that the snake might end up in one of the adjacent homes again, McGee said, and I didn't believe a routine release would be safe this time. But the officials said that the number of rattlesnake sightings has gone up as the weather has gotten hotter in the area, about 50 miles, 80 kilometers southeast of downtown Los Angeles, and Walsh advised any of the residents who spot a snake to call the animal services instead of trying to remove it themselves. So that was the one guy's snake. He tried to remove it himself instead of calling the animal services. Well, let's see what we got here. Biden has been encouraging people to get the shots, but you know the Republicans are the only ones that are refusing to take it. I only put my name down for me to get it only because my job was offering $100 to get the shot, so I might just take that. I might just take the $100 and just go and get it, because it's like basically. Because I'm going to be going on vacation in almost 2 months, so that $100 could be used towards my vacation. I just got to wait on the next available day that they do it on. They wanted me to do it last Friday, but I didn't want to do it on Friday because I had to work. So I said, well, let me see if they call on a day that I'm off, and then just go then. Like this Friday, I'm off, so if they call me for this Friday, then I can go. A guy known as the Torso Killer pleads guilty to a 1974 murder case. Damn, 47 years later, what the fuck? In Newark, New Jersey, four years, a savage murderer who was known as the Torso Killer had dribbled out confessions to a New Jersey detective closing the cold cases into the brutal deaths of four young women that dated back to the late 1960s, early 1970s. But there was one unsolved case that the notorious serial killer would never admit to. The slayings of 17-year-old Mary Ann Pryor and a 16-year-old Lorraine Marie Kelly from 1974 until now. On Tuesday, the serial killer, Richard Cottingham, 74 years old, sat in a wheelchair in prison scrubs as he pleaded guilty to kidnapping the teenage girls and raping them for days before he drowned them in a motel room bathtub. The teenagers were last seen on August 9th, 1974 in North Bergen, and they left home for a trip 13 miles, that was north to a Paramus mall, and they told their families that they had planned to take a bus trip there to buy bathing suits for a trip to the Jersey Shore. Witnesses at the time told police that the girls were hitchhiking and they had gotten into a man's car. They were found 5 days later after they went missing. And they were identified by their jewelry when their nude, battered bodies were discovered face down in the woods of North Jersey's Bergen County. he's relieved that this cloud that has been hanging over his head for many, many years is now removed, said his defense attorney John Bruno, adding that Cottingham has serious regret for the crimes and hope to give the family some closure. Mary Ann's sister, Nancy Pryor, had watched the hearing after years of working with detectives, and she kept saying, "Before my time comes, I'd love some answers, and I'd never give up hope that we would ever get them," she told the reported Record newspaper in 2016. Pryor did not respond Tuesday to messages that were left by the Associated Press seeking any comment. As part of a plea agreement, prosecutors said that Cottingham is expected to get two additional life sentences in July to be served concurrently with the time that he's already serving now. Cottingham did not make any statement during Tuesday's hearing, but he offered one and two-word answers to questions that were posed by State Superior Court Judge Keith Bachman and his attorneys. In his April 14th confession to Robert Anzalotti, the Bergen County Prosecutor's Chief of Detectives, Cottingham admitted to physically forcing Lorraine into a motel room and threatening to harm her if Mary Ann didn't comply. He confessed to raping them and tying them up as he slept so that they wouldn't escape and drowning them in the motel's into the motel room's bathtub before dumping their bodies. He gave details about the murders that only a killer would know. Angelotti told AP after the court hearing, the prior Kelly case is among North Jersey's most infamous unsolved crimes. And Cottingham is one of the region's most heinous criminals, known as the Torso Killer. For brutally dismembering most of his victims by cutting off their limbs and heads, he's currently in a New Jersey prison on life sentence for many other murders. While he has claimed he was responsible for up to 100 murders, authorities in New York and New Jersey have only officially linked him to at least 12 so far, and which will also include the 1974 killings. He was arrested in 1980 when a motel maid heard a woman screaming inside his room. Authorities had found the woman alive, but bound with handcuffs and suffering from bite marks and knife wounds. In the 1970s, Cottingham had a wife and children and held a job as a computer program for a health insurance company in New York. And basically, this guy, Alan Greco, had recalled, a retired chief of detectives in Bergen County who helped convict Cottingham over the 1977 murder of a woman found outside a hotel in northern New Jersey. Investigators in both states were able to tie Cottingham to other murders and sexual assaults, but Greco had remembered Cottingham played games with investigators for years regarding the prior Kelly murders as he sought to trade information for better treatment in prison. Seeing how the families are destroyed, you can't help but feel their pain, he said. I think he figured, I'm going to just toy with them, and as long as I can drag it out, I will. Angelotti had first met Cottingham 17 years ago as a detective sought to close some of the county's cold cases. He believes that there are still dozens of outstanding cases in the tri-state area that might eventually be traced back to him. The killer would ultimately tell Angelotti about the slayings of four women and teenage girls between the ages of 13 and 29 in Bergen County, yet he was always reluctant to discuss Mary Ann and Lorraine, because their murders bothered him more than any other, probably because of the brutality of it, and coupled with their ages and the days he spent torturing them. Angelotti had tried to elicit a confession for years as Mary Ann's sister, Nancy, repeatedly checked in with detectives for any updates. In March, Angelotti announced that he was ending his 29-year career in law enforcement, but he had one last case to solve. He says, I didn't want to retire until this was complete, he said, but he brought Cottingham from state prison... in Trenton up to the prosecutor's paramus offices three times in the last month, which is a 75-mile trip each way, and pushing him to finally admit to the murders of Mary Ann and Lorraine. Angelotti had got the confession on April 14th, and Cottingham pleaded guilty on Tuesday. The detective's last day as a cop was Saturday. Yeah, that's fucked up. I never even heard of that one. I watch a lot of murder documentaries, and I've never heard of that guy, Richard Cottingham. But it says the guy is 74 years old. He's going to be 75 in November. He was married to a woman named Janet. From 1970 to 79, and had three kids with her. So I'm surprised they don't know shit like this. See, the reason why he was called the Torso Killer is due to his habit of dismembering his victims, and usually leaving nothing but their torso behind. This guy, Richard Francis, was eventually convicted of murder in 1981. After being caught trying to flee an attempted murder scene. He claims to have killed about 85 to 100 people, but they've only linked him to like 12 so far. Yeah, I don't know what it is about serial killers, but every time they get arrested, they try to exaggerate like how many they killed to make it look bad. To make them look badder than they already are. Yeah, I gotta get some more cleaning done in my room. Now the next thing is the closet. I gotta get some bags, whatever. I got some garbage bags. I think I might need more than what I already have to be able to go through my to get through my old clothes and just get rid of them. So I gotta part with some of my favorite shirts that I love, and it kind of sucks. I could always buy more if I could ever find them. Once my taxes get done, then I can figure out what my taxes are going to be and what I'm getting back. I know it's going to be more. Because I'm making more at my job that now. Like money wise, I'm making more by the hours than my last job. So more than likely, I'll get more back from my job than what I did at my prior one. And I'm not proud to admit it, but yes, I did work at McDonald's about a couple years ago. And I got like $500 back from them, which ain't shit. But now because I'm working at Meijer and I make a little bit more at Meijer than what I did at McDonald's, I should be getting more money back from Meijer. I just haven't done my taxes yet, so I can't tell you what I'm gonna be getting back, because I don't know yet until my mom does it. Yeah, tomorrow I gotta be at work at 8 in the morning. I said, I don't even know why they put me down for 8 in the morning. I'm usually a night person. They got me down from 8 to 4:30 tomorrow, and then 8 to 4:30 on Saturday. And then I'm off Friday, which is my third day off for the week, because I had Sunday off, and then today's Wednesday. This is my second day off, and then Friday's my third day off.